Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Flavor Living Radio here on Blog Talk Radio. It's June the 12th, Thursday, and today we're going to go to the Midwest. Yes, Ohio. And we ran into an idea there in the Midwest in Cleveland. We're going to Cleveland, Ohio. And this idea, I'm hoping, becomes a great trend. And this trend, it can take off in many ways. But Cleveland did this idea, made it grow and expand, and many other towns, cities, and rural areas, and they're interested in this idea. So we went out there. We talked with Noni Casino and Christopher Urek from the Cleveland Crops. And listen, here's our interview. We hope you like. And first, I wanted to do this. I wanted to thank our listeners for tuning in to Flavor Living Radio. This is our show number 41. And all those people who have broadcasted, all those companies who have broadcast Flavor Living Radio, Stetcher, iTunes, Roku, and also I want to thank my parents for cooking. They're both great cooks. They helped me to do as far as like food and chefs and cooking. And also I want to thank Shirley, my girlfriend, for writing. She's been a great writer for us, all the press releases and our shows. She's a great writer and author. Look out for her. She's a good author. I'll tell you about her more later. But as you noticed, for the last month, we've had a show on from the UK called Scarf and Cough. They're from the UK area, and that's Jules and Dr. John. Their show's been airing for the last 30 days. We hope you liked the show, and there's going to be more of their broadcasts weekly. And a great show, more that's flavor from the UK. So let's go on back to the Midwest to the Cleveland Crops interview.
Hello, everybody. Hi, all tonight. This is Alan Free.
Welcome to Flavor Living Radio. This is Bryant, the host. And today we go to Ohio. We go to Cleveland. And we go to a fascinating idea. It's called the Cleveland Crops, everyone. Yes. We have on our show today, we have Noni Casino and Chris Urek. Hello, everybody. How are you guys doing?
Hi, how are you? We're great today, Brian.
Doing well, thank you.
Wow, it's great to hear you guys there in Ohio, so it's cool. Wow. Well, man, first, your background, Noni, Casino, your background is just really fascinating as a renowned chef.
Yes, it's been quite a journey.
I saw that you had owned, that you, your family had a restaurant in the capital of Ohio, in Columbus, Ohio.
We actually popularized the Italian food concept in Columbus around probably as early as 1919, my grandfather was teaching food service and butchering at OSU. And then we opened the first carryout, the first Italian restaurant. It's what? Just, you know, genetic.
What? So it was like the groundwork there in the capital.
Yes. Wonderful city, Columbus. I love it.
And I also saw that you were the personal chef for the Ohio governor, Richard Celeste, in the mid-'80s.
Yes, I was. I ran the governor's residence. I brought in organic gardening. We had orchards. We did a lot of sustainable cooking. We also started a program called Buy Ohio,
Okay. Which
is very much like the farm program and the sustainable movement now, only the very beginning stages of it.
Wow. So what great hands to invent the Cleveland Crops for your background that you've had, you know, as far as in the as a chef, renowned chef in the industry there.
Oh, I knew that was a natural fit the day I applied. Mm-hmm. I was excited that they had formed this organization. And well, they allowed me to be a part of it. It's great.
Well, now, Chris, your area is in disabilities, right? The development of disabilities and making sure they find different positions and jobs. You've been on the forefront for this, I saw.
Yeah, you know, Clean the Crops kind of developed in the wake of the Great Recession of 2008. At the time, we were struggling with unemployment for the people that we serve, people with developmental disabilities. They were losing their jobs, and we were having difficulty bringing work into our supported employment settings like our workshops. And we needed a concept that was essentially recession-proof, something that people could work at no matter what kind of economic times we were finding ourselves in. And the concept of farming came to mind as a concept that, you know, no matter what the economic times, people need to eat.
True.
That's probably a given. So I thought, well, what if we explore that idea? So we met with Ohio State University Extension in Cuyahoga County, and they were very enthusiastic about using farming as an economic catalyst to create jobs, and they got us excited about it. And one thing led to another, and we were able to acquire some property here in the near east side of Cleveland.
Okay.
And it was kind of the site of a demolished school building that had been here since 1883, I believe. Unfortunately, it had to come down, but that created an opportunity for us to work that land and return it to a farming function, which it actually had before the school was built. So it was kind of like back to the future.
Wow. So,
yeah.
So basically, it was an area that wasn't used for years, and you saw, bam, an opportunity there.
Yeah, we developed some great relationships with Councilman Joe Simperman, the Cleveland City Councilman, who was responsible for that area. And he grew up in the neighborhood, and he knew the school, and he knew something had to be done to transform the property into something that was not a problem, but actually an asset to the neighborhood. And when he found out about us, he just drew the connection and helped us acquire the property through the city land bank. And it's about an acre of land. And we were able to make that our first farm. It's since developed into a kind of a main campus for us. We have a one-acre farm. We have a 15,000-square-foot greenhouse, and we have a about 6,000-square-foot food innovation center with office space for Ohio State University Extension's Cuyahoga County offices.
Wow.
So it's kind of become the hub of local food in the Cleveland area. And I think we've done a lot to help the neighborhood out, too. I think that the housing values, my guess is that they've gone up, and things are getting better in the neighborhood as a result of us doing what we did.
Wow.
So,
you know, I used to live in Cleveland, you know. I didn't want to say that in the beginning of the interview, but I saw, Noni, that you had a place called the Root Cafe on Detroit Avenue.
Yeah.
I lived on Clifton Boulevard.
Oh, wow.
So in Lakewood, yeah.
Between what and what?
Oh,
well,
you know where the Clifton Diner used to be?
Of course. Yeah,
all right. Maybe 2 blocks from the Clifton Diner.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm like, yeah, I used to live there. So I'm like, I had to interview you guys. So, you know, here on Flavor Living. Now, so 2010 came and you guys, you just kind of, had a list of names of like, hey, we need this person on our team. We need this person on our team. So how did that start? I mean, 2010 came and bam, as far as the people who actually started the Cleveland Crops.
Yeah. I should probably do a little historical background to give you some context. Cleveland Crops is actually supported by a nonprofit organization called SAW Incorporated. SAW Incorporated is the nonprofit sister to the Cuyahoga County Board of Developmental Disabilities.
Gotcha.
That's the agency charged with serving people who have developmental disabilities and supporting them in not just in employment, but in any life area where they need support.
I gotcha.
And so it's really a collaboration between those two organizations and also with Ohio State University Extension.
I understand, like you were explaining before. I understand. All right.
Yeah, so the county board has really been a huge supporter of this, and Cleveland Crops has really sought doing business as Cleveland Crops. So that's kind of how that works. And so we had some resources initially to bring on board experts like Nani, who understood food, who understood farming and growing. We knew that we didn't know what to do with farming. We didn't know. We're not farmers.
But I was wondering, you brought in some professional farmers that were outside of Ohio to come on in?
Actually, no. They were local people. Nani's from Columbus. Jerry Gross, our initial farm manager, is living in the area around Greater Cleveland. We started small. We started with just a few people who knew what they were doing with growing with food and how to sell it. And we started with the one property at Standard Avenue. And then as word got out about what we were doing and relationships began to form and networking began to happen, we started to find out about a bunch of other sources out there of land, and whether it be a municipality or a private property owner or a neighborhood development corporation that controlled certain parcels. All of a sudden, we were able to build on the Standard Avenue success and acquire at this time, we have 60 acres of land that we have either owned or leased. And we have excellent lease agreements with the various entities. It's basically a dollar a year kind of a thing, so essentially for free.
Wow. Now, I wanted to tell our listeners, because so everybody knows, now the Cleveland Crops is a urban farming, and it's different farms that are spread around Cleveland, and it's for a strong demand for local grown foods for residents and the local restaurants. So there are a total of 8 farms I saw. There are 8 farms that are around Cleveland. And they're there for the residents and restaurants. So this is what Cleveland Crops is. This is our guest today on Flavor Living, and they're explaining how they started it. So you guys have 8 farms.
I think actually, if you count them up, we probably have 10 sites now. Some are considered gardens. Actually, they're very small.
Okay.
We have, for example, we have the Free Stamp Garden on the front lawn of City Hall in Cleveland. At the Free Stamp Park. So that's probably the 1/3 of an acre in total area. So it's our smallest site. And then we have some others that are, around an acre. And then, of course, the big ones in Parma and Olmsted Township, Parma being 17 acres and Olmsted Township being over 30 acres. So that's where most of those 60 acres come from, are those two farms. But we are represented throughout Cuyahoga County. And the idea behind that was where land was available, for one thing, but also wanted to be close to where the people that we serve live, so that if they relied on public transportation to get to work, they could possibly work on one of our farms.
Wow.
Without having to go across the county to some rural area of the county, which, as you know, in Cuyahoga, there aren't many rural areas. It's almost all urban, but
right. There
are some open areas here and there. So, that was kind of the idea behind spreading out. It does create a bit of a logistical issue in terms of getting resources and getting those farms staffed appropriately, and mobile crews is one answer, getting people in a van and getting them to the site and then moving to another site. That's one way to deal with that we're experimenting with this year. So it's been a pretty challenging but wonderful project to work on, and we're still learning as we go here.
Wow. Now, Noni, I saw that you had to make sure that the restaurants in Cleveland are like, hey, we're here. We want to provide fresh produce for the rest. How did you spur the interest to the restaurants there in Cleveland?
Well, seeing that my father and grandfather were chefs and farmers, both rural and urban, I know the soul of a chef. I have 2 brothers that are chefs, and I've opened probably 6 restaurants myself. So I understand their thinking, especially the ones that are contemporary and modern. So I have a fortune to meet Zach Brule, who is the most successful restaurateur in the city of Cleveland.
Wow.
He has 7 successful restaurants within the city limits, and no one else can make that claim.
Right. So he's the man. But he was the man in Cleveland.
Immediate connection, like we were brothers and sisters.
I got you. Wow.
sell the product inside and out, and I can make recommendations and encourage them to do things that they are already interested in, like turning chai blossoms into a specialty vinegar. So the chefs and I just hit it off. I'm the oldest of seven. I love young people that are enthusiastic about food, and it was just beautiful relationships. I mean, in the beginning, they would even come here and pick up because we had limited sources of labor and delivery. So, and now it's just, you know, they just basically buy everything we grow that we don't put in our CSA, which is Community Supported Agriculture Program, and our farmers markets. So I just feel real lucky that I understand the way they think and what they want.
Well, so you can just say, hey, why don't you guys add this to your menu? You know, why don't you add this type of salad or this type of dish to your menu?
I can suggest that we have arugula. Do you want to use it at this lunch you're going to do? And they're so open. They're young culinarians that are very upscale, and they have very open minds, and they're very pro pesticide-free, which I want to brag about. We don't use chemicals. We're not certified organic, but we have always practiced organic principles. So that's a real selling point. And, you know, it's just something that keeps the ball rolling, basically.
Wow. Now, as far as the so basically the residents and people, different staff members and for the disability program, they do the farming during the off-season, correct?
Yeah, we, of course, the growing season in Cleveland is somewhat limited. We've tried to extend our season using hoop houses and low tunnels and other season extension, extension structures. And, of course, the greenhouse is a big help.
Yes.
We feel that one of the areas of opportunity for off-season employment is going to be through the Food Innovation Center and what we're doing there. That's where we can process what we grow during the busy season into shelf-stable products that you know, can hold up without refrigeration and so forth. We can also do environmental art, which Nani is an expert in, and she can tell you a little bit more about, but essentially growing flowers and then drying them and using them in wreaths and swags and other environmental art-type applications.
Well, that was the first part of our of our interview with Cleveland Cross. We hope you're enjoying it. And we're going to be right back and talk to Noni Cassino and Christopher Urich with more information about that. Isn't that fascinating? You would think, I mean, they took an idea and they studied other areas who are doing it, like Wisconsin and other towns, and they studied it, and they all got their ideas together and started this idea. So we'll be right back with more of our interview.
I loved how Bluehost 24/7 support was always there for me. So I thought, why not take that power and put it into my boyfriend?
I love you. You say it.
Oh, you have to try this, huh?
Hey, come on, say it. You want to say it, say it. You say it. Hi.
Babe, cooked your favorites. I hope you're hungry. Tell me about your day, not just what you did, but how it made you feel.
Say it. Say it.
I love you, my love.
It seemed like a good idea. He's back there, isn't he?
Bluehost Power. Not recommended for boyfriends, but for websites and domains, it's fantastic.
I love you, my love.
I love you, my love!
I love you, my love. I love you, my love.
I love you, my love!
Mi amor. Sit down.
I love you, my love!
Okay, we are back with more. We're going back to the Midwest. Yes, we are. We are going from Hampton Roads to Cleveland and listen to Cleveland Crops.
The employment that we can offer to people throughout the winter season.
Right, full time. Okay.
And I would also add that our goal isn't necessarily to employ everybody that we serve. The goal is to teach them work skills, teach them how to, for example, you know, come to work on time, get along with your coworkers, relate with your supervisor appropriately, get along with the general public when you're out at a farmer's market, for example, and learn all those kind of skills that are broadly applicable to any employment situation. And then the idea is that we help you get there. If you don't want to be a farmer for a living, we'll help you find something that is your cup of tea out in the community.
And, you know, I see another perk, too, because if I was coming on as board as a staff member, I get fresh produce.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I get fresh everything.
You're thinking ahead.
Yeah.
And it's funny because in the beginning, no one was interested in taking it. They didn't think it was cool. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. You were like, you had to put a sock to it.
These are young adults, and they're modern, and they have the same exact things as everyone else. So they're like, I'm not carrying a bag of lettuce on the bus.
Right. Like the hip thing. So they had to, like, you know, have to probably have a hip bag, probably. A cool bag.
But I love seeing that change in the past 4 years.
Wow. What
we have an innovative kitchen up and running. We're going to start making vegan soup lunches once a week for the consumers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I've done salads before, but, you know, now we can really offer them some flavors of what this product can be turned into.
Wow. Now, you know, I was looking at this before going into what Chris is talking about as far as the art, but I was looking at the different months, like in June, July, August, September, and October. During those months, there's always something different. You guys always have something different each month to give to the public.
Well, that's kind of a requirement to keep CSA people interested and stimulated.
Mm-hmm.
But what's enabled us to stretch it this year is our innovative kitchen and our dehydration program.
Wow.
The first year we've had that licensed and up and running, so now we can add the diversity of kale chips, chive blossom vinegar, granola. That's a whole new thing for us, and that makes our shares really unique. There are many CSAs in Cleveland.
Right.
We're the only ones that can grow and process in the same location.
Gotcha. Wow. So that's why the different variety and flavor. Now, Chris is talking about the art. What is that? How's that go as far as the different art goes?
The environmental art is basically exactly what it sounds like. It's organic material, flowers, gourds, grasses that you would grow in the field, and then we have a drying and a curing process. Those could be stored, then we turn them into herb wreaths, swags, bouquets, edible garnish like the bouquet garni. And this is beautiful because not only can we do it year-round, but we can have less physically abled consumers. Like if you're in a farm program, our consumers, they're disabled, but they're very able. They're physical. It's very much a work program.
Wow.
And when we get into the environmental arts, you know, you can sit in a wheelchair and make a killer environmental wreath. They do. They're super creative people. So we're happy to bring that from the field. And in the farm movement, not everyone considers that as a sustainable piece of it. But I've been doing it for 35 years, and I know it is.
But so basically, when you're saying art, like as far as art, you mean for, could you explain it more detail as far as the art-wise, like an artist? In this field, or could you explain that a little?
Well, some people think of art in terms of painters.
Yes.
Okay? We're not talking about getting a canvas and putting paint on it. We're talking about seeing locally grown organic product that's been preserved into another source of art, i.e.
Wow. Like banana chips.
Yes. I can send you some photographs if you're interested.
Yes. You know, yes, that'd be great.
Like interior design elements, you know, that you kind of Martha Stewart-like, only less capitalist kind of thing.
Wow, I mean, that sounds like a new concept.
Well, it's new for farm programs, but it's actually Victorian in practice.
Mm-hmm.
So it's because of the movement of farms. If you're going to grow flowers, and we do have a fresh flower business as well, but how do you preserve these? You know, there are actual plants that are meant to be preserved. They're called everlasting.
Mm-hmm.
So we've just taken that ball and kind of run with it. I don't know of anyone else that is right at the moment,
mm-hmm.
but I hope it inspires other growers.
Yeah, it's inspiring me. I cannot imagine the different growers, you know, in the
and
United States.
And the beauty of watching what the consumers turn this into, that's the joy for me.
Wow, that's a whole new world.
Anyway, when we say consumers, we're referring to the people we serve, farmers with developmental disabilities in this case. So don't look at Coach Broya. It's kind of an internal
yeah.
that we use.
I understand. Like AKA, like.
There you go.
I understand. Wow. Now, I saw, now, for the consumer, as you say, speaking back to the word consumer, and the restaurants, you have memberships. Can you explain the membership? Because this is awesome, this membership program that you guys have.
You're probably referring to the CSA or Community Supported Agriculture?
Yes, like when you said you have a full share, single share.
Yeah, Nani really is, and her team are the ones that put that together, but I could give you a quick overview.
Okay.
Basically what it is, different vegetables and crops come into season, we harvest them at their peak and put them in a share, or in this case, a box, in a very generous portion, whether it's the single share or the full share. And we deliver it to a location either where you work or close to where you live so you can conveniently pick it up. And the way it works is you pay in advance for the season, and then you sit back, and each week for 20 weeks you get a delivery of the best of Cleveland crops, maybe even to your work desk in some cases.
Wow, so you have there's a 20, each, like the full share, they pay for the season, and they get 20-week plan, and each week they can pick up or have it delivered the produce that they want, or that's in that season.
It's kind of whatever's in season. That's what we try to, like I say, the best of whatever's coming up in the fields that week, we put it in the shares. We can kind of predict that a little bit, and that's why some of the literature that I sent you, we were able to kind of forecast what June and July and August might look like.
Okay.
In a full share. But it really depends on the weather that season and what's happening and what's coming into season that particular week. And then we just try to give the subscriber to the CSA a really nice variety of things. And as Nani was saying, one thing we can do to add to the variety and add to the stability of the share itself, so in terms of preserving the food, is we can add things like the value-added products that you mentioned, the granolas and the dehydrated fruit snacks and things like that.
Wow.
Just add color and variety and different kinds
just
of products.
Just creativity and everything. Wow.
Yeah, so it's almost like going to the mailbox and getting a check every week, and you just never know what's gonna come. It's pretty exciting to get a share each week. But
yeah, because I would be like, I'm dating at the moment, but me and my girlfriend would like some per week, you know, as far as the share and as goes. Now, the restaurants are participating, and that's totally different for a restaurant.
That's a little different. The restaurants are more, and I'll let Nani talk about that. That's more situational, and I'll let her describe
it. Okay.
Yeah, the restaurants are more like a traditional produce company.
Yeah, of course, of course.
Only so much smaller and so much more specialized and personal. So I pretty much just let them know what we're going to have.
Mm-hmm.
They either, buy it all or pass, depending on what their menu is. You know, I give them as much notice as I can because we don't always have a lot of notice. Sometimes I'll get a call, like yesterday, I've got to harvest the spinach. Here comes 100 pounds.
Wow. So the so you guys are keeping up.
Find buyers for that. So, you know, restaurants pretty much function like traditional buyers with produce.
Wow.
But CSA is organized, structured, and we know exactly how many people, and sooner or later we know exactly what product. We also do a very nice newsletter with the CSA. So it addresses the product in it, the nutritional value of it,
mm-hmm.
and suggested use.
Wow.
Right, recipes. We don't just say, here's kale, manzuna, and arugula, good luck.
Right. Wow. You can do this with it. You can do this with green beans or carrots or parsley.
So
spinach, right.
Try to give them, you know, nutritional ideas, and then they take it from there. A lot of people in our CSA already know what to do. They're already home cooks that are interested in food.
But
just in case, you know, we do this great newsletter.
Wow. That's just awesome. Now, you have pickup locations. So if I become a member and I happen to live in, I'm a West Cleveland person, but if I happen to live in East Cleveland, east part of Cleveland, you have different locations in Cleveland and outside, on the outside, for pickup for people to pick up their produce, right?
We try to spread them around the county, much like our farms are spread out throughout the county. So are the PSA pickup locations. So, we tend to be more heavily concentrated downtown because for us, from a provider standpoint, it's easy for us to hit an office building with, 1,000 people in it and deliver, 25 shares or 50 shares or however many are being ordered in that building. And logistically, it makes a lot of sense for us, but we also want to be accessible to the community at large. So we do have some suburban pickup locations at our own facilities, at the county board's own facilities. And also, we have a clinic, for example, on the east side that's participating with us, and they're opening their doors not only to their own staff, but to the general public in South Euclid who want to participate in the CSA, and that's been a big success for us. So, the more we do this, the more partners we find and the more people want to help us be successful and participate in what we're doing.
Wow, can you imagine? I mean, instead of the Hallmark flowers that get produced, I know they're happy when they get their delivery. You know, you probably make their day, you know.
Yeah, I'm a participant as well, and I do look forward to it. And it introduced me to some vegetables that I wasn't familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
I've become a Swiss chard fan by being a CSA member, and Nani's great recipes really help us to get the full flavor out of that product.
So you're saying, Chris, your chef's skills has upgraded.
Well, my wife's chef skills have. I'm not sure.
I'm going that far now.
Okay. I was pushing it.
We're on that point, so in that respect, the newsletter really helps us, and even stuff that I grew up hating as a kid, like beets, I love them now because farm fresh beets are like you can get out of the can.
Yeah. Wow.
So I've really enjoyed expanding my dietary horizons as well as just enjoying what farm fresh produce really tastes like.
Well, now your plan, the Cleveland Cross, I know has got publicity. Has other towns and cities called in and said, hey, can you show us how to do this? Or has other people, liked the idea?
We've gotten some requests for tours from both in-state people and out-of-state folks who want to learn more about us and what we're doing. And actually, in the exploratory process, we did the same thing. We went to other states and looked at some programs like in Wisconsin. You probably know Will Allen and Growing Power and the things they have going on up in Milwaukee. We checked them out and saw what they were doing and just kind of picked and choose from our favorite destinations, what we liked at each different site and program, and try to incorporate that into our own Cleveland Crops. So, it's getting a lot of publicity, and a lot of people are curious about what we're doing. And also, Cleveland's getting a national reputation as a local food city and agriculture city. We have some very excellent zoning in the city of Cleveland that allows for beekeeping, for example, or having goats or having chickens, as long as you observe certain requirements and setbacks and so forth. It's one of the most progressive cities in the United States for farming. And our farm markets are abundant, and we have a lot of access to locally grown food here. So that probably surprises some people about Cleveland, because it's got a reputation as a Rust Belt city, but Cleveland and Detroit, actually, too, are pretty progressive when it comes to
I'm just amazed, when I first moved to Cleveland. I was like, wow, this is the greatest sports city in the world. You know, the sports, and Key Bank, and now this is innovating as far as the farming and helping people and delivering in town and out of town. This can really, if more people know about it, would just take off, you know.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping for. So, and your program is helping us do that, so we appreciate that.
Thank you.
Wow, that's cool. So, listen, tell us a story. Like, tell us some good stories that has happened with Cleveland Cross. You know, I always ask the people that we have on the show to give us a good story.
Well, I'm not the storyteller in this duo, but I know Nani has a lot of...
Yeah, come on, tell us a good story that's happened with Cleveland Crops.
Well, a real good story that you could pull up online right now is Hannah Wallace just did an article in Civil Eats, an e-mag that's about us, and one of our consumers is featured in the story, and it sort of goes into her life and experience. So that's some really incredible recognition. We've had great support from her. I think she originated as one of the writers for the New York Times.
Okay.
Now she's going to Oregon, and she's kind of a food justice person, food democracy.
Okay.
So,
wow, like an activist. Wow.
Real food in, communities that are wasteland for real food, really, like this one. So that's current. You could pull that up now. That just came out this week.
Okay.
Also done, Gundarina has a wonderful grant program, and they have helped us very much with our innovative kitchen. And they just came out with their annual report, and a photographer from New York City spent many, many hours with us last summer.
Okay.
And he came up with a series of incredible photographs that really capture the, you know, the sensitivity of the program and the workers. So we're getting a lot of, like, really global exposure.
Wow. And being on Flavor Living Radio, that's like the best right there.
There you go, Flavor Living. Wish you weren't so far away that we couldn't bring you a TSA.
I know. You know, when I'm in town there in Cleveland, I have to stop by. I mean, has any of the celebrities, I know you guys deliver to different celebrities there in Cleveland, who are from Cleveland or called on Drew Carey. You know, I know he's from Cleveland.
You know, we really should hit our celebrities.
Yeah, like people from Cleveland, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. There's a lot of famous people that came out of Cleveland, but not so much that yet, just the local celebrities. And these, we get great coverage now and again, and the stories are really the stories of the consumers.
Yeah, I just think just Cleveland Crop is a story itself, you know, and the people that are involved in it as far as who are doing the farming, the people who are buying the memberships, that's just a really top story, you know.
Yeah.
And that's why
I've been here at the very beginning. So sometimes we look around and it's like, geez, this is really what we thought
right.
We were doing.
Right.
It doesn't always work out that way, but conceptual ideas become realities, but we're doing that.
Wow, that's incredible.
Change the lives of the 60 consumers that are in the program now.
Wow. Well,
apparently, but self-esteem. They understand what work is, what success is, what accomplishment is.
And they see the produce grow, and they see it grow, and then after they see the produce grow, they see it, back to the land, you know what I mean? Back to the people for eating.
Yes.
And, you know, they see everything, the process of it.
And take consumers on deliveries with me when I go to these super fancy high-end restaurants. And I try, we can't do it every time, but at least a couple times a season. We'll sit down in those restaurants that they would normally never have an association to,
mm-hmm.
and we'll have a lunch. And it's so cool. The chef will make an effort to put the food that they bought from us back in front of us. I mean, how do you measure an experience like that?
Well,
it's totally out of their day-to-day. And I know it's in their, it's in their cell memory, that's all. It's just like, those are the things I enjoy.
Wow. Well, listen, thank you, Noni Casino, and Chris Yurek for being on Flavor Living and explaining Cleveland crops to everybody. Because where can they find, you know, more information about Cleveland crops or different towns or cities or wanting to know about it? How can they reach you guys and find you?
Real easy way for your audience would be through our website. That's clevelandcrops.org. So all one word, clevelandcrops.org. Check it out. We've got information about pretty much everything we're doing, our CSA in particular. And in the future, we hope to have some actual products for sale up there out of our Food Innovation Center. So if you're a caterer in Florida and you want to have a large supply of kale chips for some events that you're putting on, we hope to be able to have that type of product up there for you to access and order from us and get a little bit of, a little piece of Cleveland no matter where you are.
Wow. So, like, if I wanted to, you know, here in Hampton Roads, if I wanted some squash, I can call you guys?
Well, we'll see what we can do.
All right.
We can certainly send you something in a jar.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Okay. Something exciting I'd like to say. I forgot about this. We're developing right now for the Cleveland Indians.
Yes.
They actually have in the stadium a vegan hot dog.
No way.
A vegan cheese sauce for the stadium.
No
so
way. Wow.
And vegan cheese for the vegan dog. That is a goal I want to achieve.
What?
I love the idea of us having a vegan product in the stadium.
Wow. You would never, because, you know, there's lots of vegetarians that they like sports, too. They like concerts and sports. And, you know, when you go to different events, you can have, you know, vegetarian events, vegetarian foods and everything.
I'm pretty sure, except for maybe some stadium in California somewhere, we would be the first to do that.
Yes, yes.
And I think that's a really good challenge we're up
to. So you hear that, you guys, the listeners of different leaders out there, call Cleveland Crops, look them up online for more ideas, you know. So.
And please check out the article on Civil Eats. That will say tell you a lot about this program. You can follow Cleveland Crops on Twitter with that article as well.
Wow.
And you'll have a Facebook site, so check us out on Facebook.
Okay. All right, Cleveland Rocks. You didn't know. I know that.
You do know that.
That's right. You saw that. Cleveland Rocks.
And you rock. Thank you.
Thank you for being on Flavor Living. All right.
There you have it. We went to Cleveland to talk about this creative, helpful idea, Cleveland Crops. And please go to clevelandcrops.org to view their website, to check it out. And thank you for listening to Flavor Living Radio. We're going to have some more things we're going to be doing, a menu wand, and also online cooking classes. But for first, I want to tell everybody, drive safe and eat well and have a good week, a good month, and keep listening to Flavor Living Radio. This is Brian, signing off. We'll be right back.
cooking restaurants and recipes with adventures too. Wait and see, Flavor Living Radio. Everything you'd want to know. So tune in now and start listening.